Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, nor his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Man's sin is what has separated him from God. And every individual that is of age to be able to know the difference between good and evil, right and wrong, and has chosen to do that which is wrong, has sinned. Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The price for that sin is death. Romans 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Though our sins have separated us from God, God offers redemption. Redemption is an English word that we have derived from a Latin root word meaning to buy back. And God has made an offer to buy us back from sin, to release us from the sentence of death upon receipt of a ransom. What more? God Himself has made that ransom available. He has paid the ransom. He's supplied that ransom through His Son, Jesus Christ. And anyone who is willing to accept God's offer of redemption will be freed. They will be loosed from sin and loosed from the punishment and wages of that sin. We can be freed from the slavery of sin. And God will save us through His Son, Jesus the Christ. As plain and as simple as that is, many factors come into play in man's salvation. And I want to share some of these factors with you today. There is the original factor, Jehovah God. See, man cannot save himself. Jeremiah verse 23 of chapter 10, in the book that bears his name, he wrote, I know, O Lord, that it is not in man's way, is not in himself, nor is it in man who walks to direct his steps. Jeremiah understood what 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 explains, that our lives are not our own. We are not in full control of everything in our lives because we cannot save ourselves from sin. Apart from God, we are unable to direct our steps aright. And so the writer of Proverbs chapter 3, specifically verses 5 and 6, instructs us, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct or make straight your paths. Thankfully, God is a being who not only knows that we cannot save ourselves, but He knew that He needed to supply the way for us to be saved. And He did in sending His Son, John 3 and verse 16, for God, the original factor, so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. God took the initiative. God sent His Son to die for us. Salvation originated with God, Jehovah God. And thus He is the original factor. God wanted to redeem us back. And He still wants to redeem us back. And so a ransom had to be paid, a price for our freedom. And He paid it with the sacrificial factor, that of the blood that was shed by Jesus Christ. We find out in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 2, that Jesus is our sacrifice for sins. Walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But Christ did not die for us alone. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15, the Hebrew writer informs us, for this reason, he, speaking of Christ, is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Transgressions that were committed under the first covenant refers back to those people who were living under the first covenant. They needed redemption as well, and God supplied it. Those who would have been called designates that those who obtained this inheritance, the same group being referenced back in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1 as partakers of the heavenly calling, needed redemption as well. And thus all people before the cross, all people after the cross, are saved because of Christ's death on the cross. Hence it is stated, a death has taken place for the redemption of all people. The shedding of blood was necessary, the Hebrew writer writes in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. The sacrificial factor of the blood that was shed by Christ on the cross cleanses our sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is the sacrificial factor that cleanses us from our sins. This is wonderful news. It's wonderful news that Jehovah God loved us enough to send His Son. It's wonderful news that the shedding of Christ's blood is what is the sacrificial factor that can save us. But it would just be a wonderful thought had it not been revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the revealing factor. It is through the Holy Spirit that this message has been revealed to us in all wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. For to us God revealed them. Them referring back to what's stated in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that God has prepared for those who love Him. All of the things which God has prepared for those who love Him have been revealed through the Spirit, verse 10. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. The Holy Spirit revealed the mystery of these things to the apostles. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Paul said, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of the Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. The Spirit revealed these things to the apostles, and the apostles have written these truths down so that they could be revealed to us as the good news which they are. John chapter 16 and verse number 13. But when He, that is the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. The Spirit, having revealed these things to the apostles, was the revealing factor in man's salvation. It was by the Holy Spirit that the mysteries of the gospel were revealed to the apostles. Hence, He is the revealing factor who has brought the good news to us today. The good news of God's Word. The instrumental factor. God has revealed His truth to us, making it known in writing so that we may be free by obedience to it. And God desires that all men everywhere hear and learn and obey the truth. John chapter 6 and verses 44 and 45. No one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught, all taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to Me. The Word of God is very powerful as it draws men to Christ. It's the instrumental factor that allows us to have knowledge of God, the knowledge of God's love, the knowledge of our sinful state, the knowledge which we need to be obedient to His will and thus be redeemed from our sins. The power of God's Word is experienced when one hears, learns, and obeys it. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is living and active, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It's the Word of God, this instrumental factor in man's salvation, that is able to save souls. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. James describes the Word of God, the instrumental factor, as a seed that is planted, which is planted in every hearer. And it grows up into salvation as it's planted in the fertile soil of the soul. And when it takes strong root there, it produces action which leads man to salvation. Paul said that the Word of God was the power of God for salvation. Romans 1 and verse 16. The Word of God, the instrumental factor in man's salvation, is written down so that it stays the same. The message does not change. And the Word of God brings man to the appropriating factor. The appropriating factor of man is salvation, is faith. It is absolutely essential that we have faith. John 8 and verse 24, therefore I said to you, you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, as John saw Jesus coming towards him and others who were there, John said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. One must believe that Jesus is the Lamb of God, that Jesus is the sacrificial factor, that Jesus is that sacrifice that has been offered to be able to take away the sin of the world. Man's belief is pleasing to God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Man's faith is pleasing to God. And therefore, all must believe. Every individual must believe. Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is the power of God to save, but the appropriating factor of that is man's faith. When the Word of God is followed by faith, it leads to salvation. And faith is not just belief. It's not just saying, I believe. It is belief that leads to action. James 2, verses 17 through 16, or 17 through 26, James argues that faith without works is dead, being by itself, verse 17. Verse 24, he would go on to say that now you see by all of the examples which James gave that man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Man's faith leads him to be obedient to God's will, obedient to Christ. Man's faith saves him as the appropriating factor. Man's faith leads him on to consummating his salvation. The consummating factor of man's salvation is obedience. Obedience that is the demonstration of one's faith, per James 2, verses 17 through 26. One must obey God and not man. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Peter and the apostles answered on that occasion, we must obey God rather than men. According to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, not just any obedience will do, but rather it must be the obedience to the will of the Father for man's salvation. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Mankind has devised many different means of obedience that man has then accepted as being obedience to the will of the Father. But professions of faith without appropriate change of lifestyle prove empty. And mere works by themselves do not save. A relationship with Jesus Christ is what is needed. A relationship with Jesus Christ based on obedience, the consummating factor of man's salvation. This obedience to God's will is so important because God will only save those who are obedient. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 through 10 speaks about Jesus, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God. Jesus is the source of eternal salvation, but if we're not obedient to Him, we never plug into the source which offers eternal salvation. Man must learn to be obedient, just as Christ learned obedience. And when man is obedient to Christ, he or she gains access to that source of eternal salvation. One more factor. When one has learned of God's will, been obedient to God's will, there is then a consummating factor that has taken place. But to sustain one through life, there is the sustaining factor, that of hope. Jesus Christ is the Christian's hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. The hope of the Christian is not for this life only. No, the hope of the Christian, the hope of the one who has consummated his faith in Christ through obedience, is hope for eternal life. as well. The hope that we have of eternal life rests on the fact of the resurrection of Jesus. And thus, the hope which we have is an anchor for our souls while in this life. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Because Jesus Christ was resurrected, because Jesus Christ entered beyond the veil and is seated at the right hand of God, we have hope in this life, a hope of eternal life. One's hope saves. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. For in hope, in confident expectation, we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he has already seen? Believers long for and anticipate the glorification that has not yet come. They long for that home in heaven, but it has not yet come. So what will keep them going day in and day out in living the Christian life and living through the rough times of this physical life? It's hope. Hope sustains us. And those who respond by faith and obedience to the will of God have that confident expectation of eternal salvation in Christ. Thus, hope is the sustaining factor in man's salvation. Many factors come into play in man's salvation. But several of the factors have already been taken care of, as we noted throughout. God knew that man could not save himself. Thus, He gave His Son as a ransom to buy man back from his sins. Jesus, through obedience to the Father, gave His life to redeem us. And the Holy Spirit revealed this wonderful message to the apostles who wrote it down. The written word is powerful enough to save anyone and everyone who is willing to hear it, learn it, and obey it. These things have already been taken care of. And it's at this point that God puts the ball in your court, so to speak. It is absolutely essential that you be one who is willing to learn God's Word, learning what is required of you for salvation from your sins, and obey God's will. Your obedience to God's will and not man's will is the consummating factor in your own salvation. But once one has consummated that obedience to God through Jesus Christ, you have to have hope, the sustaining anchor of the soul. It keeps us going until the very end. Everyone is in need of salvation. Everyone is in need of salvation because of their own sin. Forgiveness and pardon are available to anyone who is willing to obey God. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. God wants everyone to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Thus He has made an offer for salvation to all men. Titus 2 and verse 11. Anyone who believes and is baptized, Mark 16 and verse 16, will be saved. And the one that believes will repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. They will receive the gift. They will accept the gift from God. Looking back at Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve for our sins. It's what is the proper wage and punishment for sin. But God has made a way. He's made a way, and He's made an offer, a free gift that is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The question is, will you accept God's free gift? Will you accept God's free gift today? And if you are one who has already accepted that gift and consummated your salvation, then will you sustain that obedience through hope? As a child of God, are you walking in a manner that is worthy of the calling for which you have been called? Ephesians 4 and verse 1. As a child of God, are you walking in a manner worthy of the Lord? Colossians 1 and verse 10. God wants you to come to Him and allow His Son to cleanse you of your sins. 1 John 1, 7 through 9. And if this morning is the opportunity for you and it has been met with your need, then why won't you come? To have your sins washed away, as together we stand and as we sing.